The passage for tonight is in Colossians chapter 1, and Paul is very thankful throughout the book of Colossians, mentions thanksgiving about five times, and he's not a free man at that point. On the outside, everything's all bunched up on him. Can't go where he wants to go or do what he wants to do, but he's very free on the inside, and hopefully that can be our experience tonight with the Lord. That no matter what, you know, we're facing, how we feel about the circumstances around us, we can say we give thanks to God for his faithfulness. And Paul picks a number of things to give thanks for. We're just going to concentrate on two of them. But it's Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. I'm actually just looking at verse 4 in particular. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Okay, Paul's thinking of the Colossians, and he says, we always thank God when we pray for you. A lot of thankfulness happening tonight. And if you have a prayer list, make it a list of thanks to the Lord. If you don't have a prayer list, get one, either in your own mind or written out. Henry Blackaby, when talking about prayer, said, our prayers should be saturated with thanksgiving. And to give thanks to God for Jesus, who opens the door for prayer and salvation, and then thanking the Lord at the end of our prayer time for listening, for the relationship we have with him. And so our prayers are to be saturated with thanks. And the five mentions of thanks in Colossians are these phrases, verse or chapter 1, we always thank God for you. That's an attitude the Holy Spirit can give us when you think of other believers, people you love, to thank God for them. Chapter 1 later on, joyfully give thanks to the Father. So when we give thanks, it does allow us to bear a little more fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes doing something creates the fruitfulness God would bring. Chapter 2, overflowing with thanksgiving. That's a part of being a growing Christian, to do that. Chapter 3, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. So our actions are to say to God, thank you, Lord, that I can just take this action that I'm doing for you. And in chapter 4, be devoted to prayer, being watchful, and thank you. So there's you can be a very intense Christian, like a John the Baptist type or a Jeremiah type of great emotions, and you could still have thankfulness in your prayer life. So make that a part of our practice. E.M. Bounds wrote about 600 pages on prayer. He was known as a real prayer warrior and discipled people in praying in the 1800s, pretty much in and around the Civil War and after that. He said, true prayer always involves thanksgiving, and it is a great cure for complaint and pagan ingratitude. So if you find those things tripping you up a lot because it is contagious in the culture, pagan ingratitude, complaint, giving thanks to God, a great cure for those. He even said, even the phrase, our Father, from the Lord's Prayer, our Father, is a thankful cry for the gift of salvation, because no lost man knows God as his Father. So that thankfulness that we come to God with in prayer. To me, when I pray to God, so excited about who I'm talking to that by the end of the prayer time, whatever I was praying about does not seem as intense certainly as the one I'm praying to, the one I'm talking to. So to be thankful for God in prayer. Thankfulness is something that we do that affects our whole body. With the MRI machine coming out, they've done MRIs of brains. When people give thanks for things, you know, they're lying there and they just start counting their blessings, and their brain functions are on high capacity, okay, working on all eight cylinders, or however the brain works there, and that's not the proper description, but more brain efficiency happens the more thankful you are. So if you want your intelligence to increase, be thankful. We all need that and want that. James McDonald is a preacher heard on the radio and has different tape ministries, rather large congregation in Illinois. Probably one of the top 30 preachers in terms of being listened to in our country. He said he was going through a rough time one time and couldn't quite turn the corner on feeling close to God or growing in his faith. So what he did, he said, before he went to bed every night, he would write down 10 things that he was thankful for. And he said that simple practice became an overwhelming discipline that affected him throughout his days and really helped the Lord just keep his heart strong and trusting God, even though things were real difficult for him. So something like that, you know, in your mind, or if you like to be as disciplined as him, to write that out. We thank God every time we pray for you. That's the Apostle Paul's standard there. And he mentions two things that he's thankful for in two directions specifically: faith in Christ Jesus and love for all the saints. So two real key things in our own walk with God. Your faith in Christ Jesus. This gives God 100% credit for our salvation, which has been mentioned a number of times here tonight. Okay, now that's an outstanding thing to do. Your faith in Christ Jesus. George Whitefield was a great preacher. He was trying to get a person to think about the Lord and share the gospel with them. And so George Whitefield asked him, he says, "What do you believe?" And the man said, "I believe what my church believes." And so George Whitefield said, "Well, what does your church believe?" And the man said, "My church believes what I believe." And George Whitefield said, "Well, what do you and your church believe?" And the man said, "We believe the same thing." And eventually George Whitefield got up to say, "Who is your faith in? Have your faith in Christ. We thank God," Paul said, "for your faith in Christ Jesus." Not to have faith in faith, but faith in Christ. And keep the focus on him. Think of your own testimony and your life. Outside of your parents, maybe, who prayed for you, or grandparents, who really thought that you would be a true follower of Christ? Who really thought that? Your friends who knew you, they knew, you know, you had problems. You weren't the kind of person who was following God real closely. Maybe you rebelled against the Lord or barely tolerated him. Okay, we'll give them just, you know, just a little bit of gratitude here and there. Maybe God was hardly on your mind. Did you even think that you would become a faithful follower of Christ years ago? Okay, who thought of all that first? Well, the Lord had that in mind. Okay, I thank God for your faith in Christ. Gives God credit for the salvation. A hymn says, entitled, "I Know Who I Have Believed," says this: "I know not how this saving faith to me God did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart." So there's a sense when we think of our own salvation, we say, "Oh, how did this happen to me? You know, this is truly amazing grace." Adrian Rogers said, "The faith that starts in heaven ends up in heaven." So God sends the word from heaven, his son, his Bible, and those who receive it end up in heaven. It's Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Paul would say, "I thank God for your faith in Christ." See, he's at the beginning and the end of the sentence. God, Christ, we take our part in there. So we give thanks to God for any faith that we have and springing from Him. And then Paul says, not only the faith in Christ, but the love you have for all the saints. And we shouldn't be surprised that true faith and true love go together here. If you had faith by itself, it would be a dead religion. Okay. We believe the right things. Okay. James would say the devil knows some truth. Okay. He believes it, some right things. Faith by itself, you know, without love, like a clanging cymbal, Paul would say, noisy, not good for anything. Don't just talk about that you believe the right thing. Bang, 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 giving everybody a headache with that. Paul said, and not only that, but the love you have for all the saints. Now, if you have love without faith, that's no good either. That's humanism, just trying to do things on our own. Emotion without the truth, no one would ever meet Christ if that was the case. But true faith and true love go together. The love you have for all the saints has its origin in God. Where does that love come from? 1 John 4:7, dear friends, let us love one another because love comes from God. So we give Him credit for the good and perfect gifts of one another. Ephesians 3 lets us know that love will be so powerful, it will be beyond human comprehension. And that's not a bad thing. If you could totally understand God's love, the Lord would be rather small, because your mind can only take in so much. This love's a supernatural work brought about by the Holy Spirit. And love for all the saints is really a good, healthy test for how you're walking with the Lord. Faith in Christ, love for all the saints. Do you have a magnetic love for people? Unconditional love, tough love. It's usually one of the changes that a person senses fairly early in their walk with the Lord. Before, very self-absorbed, self-concerned, but after meeting Christ, how's everybody else doing? How can I help the other guy? You know, I hope they have faith in the Lord. How can I pray for them? All that. Thank you for your love for all the saints. Jesus asked a very convicting question that ties into Paul's phrase, all the saints. Not just the ones in your circle of fellowship, but all the saints. Even the ones who you say, well, they're of a different fellowship. They do things differently. They worship another way. They baptize another way. They think of communion in a way that's, you know, not the same way I think of communion. Paul says, have love for all the saints. Where does that love come from? Jesus said, well, if you love only those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even the pagans do that. So, the love of God going to all the saints, changing us and then changing the people that we have the opportunity to love. You love because God first loved you. And with God, you can love anybody. Different people probably popping into your mind. Anybody but him or her. No, with God, you can love anybody. Because God loves everybody. And His Spirit lives in you. So it's not a matter of your ability. It's a matter of your surrender to Christ. Let love be the servant of your will and the servant of God. Yes, I will love because Jesus loves. Don't make love the victim of your emotions. I don't feel like it. I'm in pain. I'm hurting. Love, you stay put. You know, don't make love a victim of your emotions. But rather make it a servant of your obedience to God. Just an expression of joy and love to Him. And thank God this Thanksgiving for for our faith in Christ and for the love that we have for all the saints. These are gifts from Him. And especially for Jesus, His cross, His shed blood, for the forgiveness of sins, and His great resurrection. Two praises in closing to the Lord. The voices of a million angels couldn't express the gratitude of Paul. When he said, I always thank God for you when I pray. I'm overflowing with thanksgiving. And then a later saint, John Wesley, would put his own understanding of salvation partially in this line of a hymn. Speaking of Jesus, He left His Father's throne above, so free, so infinite His grace, emptied Himself of all but love. So Jesus took action and bled for Adam's helpless race. His mercy all immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. And how grateful we are as His children to be loved by God and to have love for all the saints. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to continue to count our blessings. And this is a really exciting and holy time of year. We know that it also brings our hearts out in the open a little more freely, which makes us susceptible to not only more joyful connections, but also more pain and disappointment. And we pray that wouldn't overtake the truth of who You are in our lives. But when faced with life and counting blessings tomorrow and being a thankful people, we would do what You want us to do, to give thanks in all circumstances, as someone shared that verse, and to praise Your name. Might You continue to teach us to be a thankful people. We are very, very blessed in Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.